This is Focus West Michigan for Tuesday, May 5, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Hundreds gathered today in downtown Grand Rapids in recognition of Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons Awareness Day. WGVU's David Limbaugh was there.
The Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons Awareness Day event was hosted by three local Potawatomi tribes. Native and non-Native allies marched through downtown Grand Rapids, giving voice to the thousands of unsolved cases involving their loved ones.
It raises awareness often among people that have no idea that there is such a horrendous amount of violence that is committed against Indigenous peoples.
Melissa L. Pope is Chief Justice of the Nattawaseppe Huron Band of the Potawatomi Tribal Court. She says that MMIP Awareness Day is not only about remembering those victims, but educating younger generations.
Not only MMIP, but also about human trafficking, as there is a very strong connection between these pieces. People can learn how to identify it, how to report, and how to be supportive of victims.
According to the Bureau of Indian Affairs, there are 4,000 open MMIP cases connected to Michigan, despite Native Americans making up less than 1% of the state's population. The BIA estimates there are 4,200 known cases nationally that remain unsolved.
I know that when they feel that they have a strong case, that they will prosecute, but I believe that it needs to be built better.
I'm David Limbaugh.
A Muskegon company is ready to expand if a federal bill prioritizing American-made products passes, WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
This plant used to make a bunch of pigment that went into publication, went into newspapers and magazines. We're running about 30% of our capacity.
Brian Panchik is Chief Manufacturing Officer and President of Color Materials for Sun Chemical in Muskegon. One of its products is a yellow pigment used in paint striping roads and runways. But Michigan Senator Alyssa Slotkin notes most of the pigment purchased in the U.S. comes from China. Visiting the plant to tout her Paving the Way for American Industry Act, the Democrat from Holly emphasized the importance of self-reliance.
Critical items like chemicals, our defense industry, manufacturing, food. How about the food that we eat every day? We should always be able to feed ourselves by ourselves.
Sun Chemical leaders say they are ready for a Buy American shift.
It's easy for us to turn the switch. The chemistries are very similar. We've got the full capability to turn this on.
The expansion would likely add 30 to 40 new jobs to its current workforce. Slotkin is confident her bill will be passed out of committee and be part of a larger transportation package later this year, with an identical bill proposed in the House. I'm Dee Morrison.
West Michigan's workforce is getting younger, more diverse, and tech-savvy. That's according to a new report from regional economic development nonprofit The Right Place. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
While many communities across the country are dealing with aging populations and declining birth rates, Grand Rapids' talent base is younger, more diverse, and well-educated. According to The Right Place and its 2026 talent report, just over 14% of the area's population are between the ages of 25 and 34, with diverse populations driving 69% of total population growth, and 37% of the workforce has a bachelor's degree or higher. Greater Grand Rapids added 2,000 jobs in 2025, with 835 unique job postings referencing AI-related skills. That's up from 282 in 2022. However, workers are competing for fewer job openings than in years past, and employers have tightened hiring due to economic uncertainty. The average hourly wage as of January was $33.18, with an unemployment rate of 4.3%. You can read the full report online at therightplace.org. I'm David Limbaugh.
Voter rights advocates say Michigan residents have lost future political power after a recent U.S. Supreme Court ruling gutted the Voting Rights Act. WGVU's Dee Morrison takes a look.
The impact in Michigan is a tale of two systems due to its redistricting structure, says Melinda Billingsley, with Voters Not Politicians, a nonpartisan advocacy organization that championed the Michigan Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission. The 13-member bipartisan board is authorized to draw state legislative and congressional district maps.
Michigan system actually gives voters the opportunity to advocate for their communities to stay together and also to submit their own maps that show how communities form and how they have shared cultural or historical significance and shared interests.
However, Billingsley says at the county or city level, districts are drawn locally, and the federal ruling makes it more difficult for voters to seek legal recourse. If if they feel districts have been gerrymandered.
For example, in Grand Rapids, you have a wonderful Hispanic community, but if we lose the protection of wards, it is possible that Hispanic voters are no longer able to elect the candidate of their choice. They won't have the same kind of legal recourse to correct that.
Billingsley notes that even if the ruling doesn't immediately change maps at congressional or state levels, voters lose the ability to hold elected officials accountable at the ballot box. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU's David Limbaugh looks at the offerings of the West Michigan Welcome Plan Collaborative, but first, news from around the state. A bill to make state records easier to find is working its way through the Michigan House of Representatives. Colin Jackson reports.
State agencies frequently release reports to the legislature that are supposed to be public, but Republican State Representative Joseph Aragona says they're sometimes hard to find since each agency has its own system for handling them and posting them online. His bill would create one state website to find everything.
You know, the thought process is let's just have a cataloged list so there's kind of a one-stop shop of where you go for a variety of different reports or data that's already been published by the state government.
The bill received its first committee hearing last week. I'm Colin Jackson.
In Flint, Black religious leaders and Democratic politicians are calling for Michiganders to respond to last week's U.S. Supreme Court decision striking down part of the Voting Rights Act. Three southern states are considering redrawing political boundaries to eliminate districts favoring Black Democrats. Flint City Council President Candace Massat says this matters to Michiganders.
We all have families from the South. A lot of us originated from the southern states. And so we have phone calls that we can make, we have relatives that we can educate, and we have people that we can influence and inspire.
Church leaders say they will work to get their parishioners to the polls for this fall's critical midterm elections in Michigan. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. The West Michigan Welcome Plan Collaborative connects Kent and Ottawa County immigrants and refugees to social services. Its annual impact report was released back in March, and WGVU's David Limbaugh spoke with West Michigan Welcome Plan Coordinator Holland De La Cruz about the report and the services the Welcome Plan provides.
The West Michigan Welcome Plan is a regional community collaborative, so we're one of five regional community collaboratives in the state, having counterparts in Southwest, Mid-Michigan, Southeast, and Northern Michigan. All of the collaboratives focus on immigrant empowerment, inclusion, and integration in their respective regions. We focus on Kent and Ottawa counties, and we advance these goals, or our mission statement really is focuses on five priority areas. So education, economic opportunity, community engagement, access to services, and community safety.
Holland, talk to me about the purpose of this 2025 West Michigan Welcome Plan report.
Yeah, so we've been functioning as a working collaborative just since the fall of 2022. So really babies in the grand scheme of things. We have work groups. So one thing I didn't mention in that description, we're a multi-sector team. And so although we have four staff housed in Kent County Administration, we have roughly 120 volunteers across 60 to 65 different organizations, anything from nonprofits to government entities, university schools, legal service providers, sort of thing. And so one of those teams in our working collaborative is a data team. We recognize that to keep this work sustainable and to keep moving those priority areas forward, we have to update our community to let them know where their funds are being spent. We have a number of different sponsors. We receive state grants. We receive some funding from the county, Kent County, and the city of GR, and then some banks, and LMCU, the most recent funder. And so this, and I think most importantly, is to update all of the community, all of our stakeholders that have invested in us, whether that's a monetary investment or their time, staff time, work on specific projects or priority areas or tools. And so we release an annual report. This is our third. Yep. We have a 2023, a 2024, and a 2025 annual report. And it really just gives a high level overview, both like demographics of our region, There's a lot of kind of unknowns in the general, I think, knowledge of how diverse our region really is. And especially there's a lot of miscommunication and misinformation about the impact of our global community. So the millions of dollars of taxes that all immigrants pay into our local ecosystem, the small businesses that are contributing to our county's GDP, population growth, right? Like, I think the population growth for both counties without immigration, we would be on the decline. So there's always some highlights on that demographic info. And then beyond the numbers, we dive into some of the projects that we've been working on. So each work group, each priority area has a goal in our strategic plan every year, and we give little updates on what we accomplished over the year to keep people informed and hopefully invite new people to engage.
What are one or two surprising aspects of this year's report?
So I think one of the things that, again, and I know I kind of probably sound like a broken record here, but I think there's this misconception that immigrants aren't contributing to our economy, and that, you know, they don't pay taxes and they don't feed into these systems. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Even undocumented populations are paying taxes with anything that they purchase, right? You got sales tax, they are renting, if they're really living in the United States, then they are contributing to our tax base. I think seeing the overall diversity of our local populations is surprising to some. You know, we have pockets that if you don't leave your local neighborhood, you don't even know that there are folks that maybe don't look like you, don't talk like you, come from a different culture. And so sometimes I think that's surprising. And then I know from my background in education and adult education, something that I constantly report out on is that our foreign-born population are very educated. So over 25% hold a bachelor's degree or higher, many doctors, lawyers, engineers living and working in our region that were born outside of the U.S. They make up a disproportionately larger percentage of our working age population, which I think is really cool. The other thing I think maybe a surprise or a highlight is the broad participation within our working groups. And so we have kind of a shout out to all of those partners who are contributing their time to this collaborative. And so on pages 12 and 13, we shared kind of logo bubbles and then links to organizations that are participating in each of our work groups. I think it's not unknown that there's a lot of orgs and nonprofits and maybe schools that are involved, but it's really cool to see how much like business and government buy-in also find this work to be important and valuable.
Holland, what do you hope people take away from this report?
I hope they see value in the work and a coordinated effort to be welcoming and inclusive of a diverse population. I hope that if they are interested, that they would seek to learn more, navigate our webpage. We've got lots of different like documents, resources, any tools that we develop. The whole point of our work is really to put tools into service providers' hands, things that will help them as they're working alongside immigrant and refugee communities. And so they're very intentionally multilingual. We do not an insignificant amount of translation for any of our tools that we develop. And then depending on how engaged they want to be, we have lots and lots of opportunities for like one-off volunteer or joining a collaborative work group. And then the best way to stay updated with our work and our partners' work is through our newsletter, which we link in all of our documents on our webpage in the annual report.
Wonderful.
I think that's all I have for you. Is there anything else you wanted to add that I didn't mention?
No, not that I can think of. Thanks for reaching out again. It's been a pleasure to stay connected with you. I know you got to attend a bit of our summit. We do have events. We always have events coming up. And so our quarterly grant writing workshop series are continuing. These are free and open to the public with a special concentration on our like immigrant and refugee-led organizations. However, You know, we won't turn people away. We had our last one in February and had our first national participation. Folks as far as like San Diego and Massachusetts were joining in on the call. So we'll have grant writing workshop, storytelling for grants. We have got a really cool grant writing workshop team that presents, and then we're partnering with community-based organizations as like guest speakers for these. And then we also have our global gathering date set. That's going to be September 12th at Garfield Park. And that's a celebration for Welcoming Week to really come together as a community, immigrant and non-immigrant communities, to just sort of celebrate each other, share culture, share food, dance, and generally have a great time. And conveniently located at Garfield Park on the southeast side. And then finally, our summit date. It's not announced yet, so this is, you get the first bit here. We're going to be hosting the summit on September 25th. So that'll be the next Maximize Economic Potential Summit, location to be determined.
West Michigan Welcome Plan Coordinator Holland De La Cruz, thanks so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you, David. You have a great day.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Tuesday, May 5, 2026. I'm Joe Balecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.